Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And you've seen my guest before, Elaine Rawls, because she is absolutely my best friend on earth. We've been friends for well over 20 years and gone through drama, trauma, and celebrations together. So Elaine, thank you for coming back.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Yeah, thanks for having me, Sharon. As always, I love you.
Elaine is a serial successful entrepreneur. Not all serial entrepreneurs are successful, but starting off with ballroom dancing and then a technical school teaching ballroom dance instructors. Then, let's see, you had a healthcare treatment rehab thing that she sold to a national organization. And then she started over 20 years ago, a digital marketing company with her son, David. And as along with that, they had real estate, and she's had a medical billing company, and I probably left a few out along the way. But
The bank.
Yes, and now we both are involved with Bank 34, which is a bank she's been involved with how many years? Well, you started with
We started in 2005, so 15 years.
Yeah. She went through a merger, and then when she went through it going public, she's on the board of the bank. I'm part of the marketing advisory board. So I'm little, she's big with the bank. It takes up a lot of time, but she is a treasure and a dear friend and always one of my greatest cheerleaders. And I hope she sees me as her greatest cheerleader. So
you got it.
Yeah. I invited her back because we just went through a process and she called me. We were trying to go through. We got so many different things happening through this COVID and new opportunities and shifting to more online stuff. And so we had someone reach out to us wanting to help us do an analysis of our digital marketing. And she called me and she said, Sharon, you know, I want to support you. Let's go through a process that I have, which is an incredible process, painful, exciting, but so clarifying. And as you know, I asked her what the title would be, and we came up with brand repositioning when things happen in the world and you have to kind of take a moment and work on your business instead of in your business. So Elaine, share why you called me.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks so much. And I'm really excited that you teed me up saying I'm going to introduce, you know, everybody in our community today, there's something that's really painful. You said, oh, it was painful. It's not that painful. Yeah, but it's just smart and hard work. Yeah, but here's the reality. So about a year ago, when we were headed into this pandemic situation, we first got into that, I was clearly telling people, this is not the time to reposition your brand. This is a crisis time, and in times of crisis, you know, you have like a 3 or 4 month stretch where you have to really focus on what kind of economic engine you have now, if you think it's going to sustain going forward, and get kind of batten down the hatches. Like when you go into the crisis, you batten down the hatches, you know, first, so that, you know, you can stem the tide, you can get against the winds, and so you can make progress when you're in a crisis. Well, that was then, and this is now. And so now, the smart people are starting to turn to, okay, what have we learned? What's going on? And the reality is that what got us from first to second base in our businesses may not be what gets us from second base to home plate. And most of the people that I work with are all focused on survival, revenue growth, amplifying the good work that they've done over the past years. And now is really a good time for the majority of business owners to kind of sit back and re-examine how their brand is positioned. For a lot of people, this is hard to do because a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, are very confident and they know it. They have the right answer. And they're
busted.
You know, as a good friend of Sharon's of mine says, there's always more than one right answer, Elaine. But anyway, a lot of people I work with think they got it. They're like, I've got it. I know what I'm going to do. As long as people do what I tell them to do, we're going to all be fine, right? And so, so I'm encouraging people to, at this stage in the economic uncertainty that we're in, that we've been in it long enough, that now is the time to start thinking about if our brand is positioned for future growth and opportunity as good as it can be right now. Not that we may not have to do this again in 6 months, that doesn't matter. What matters is what do we do now to get us ready, like for the next 6 months with this uncertainties that continue and knowing what we know now about how what we made it, how we stemmed the tide during the last 6 months, because we have learned a lot. So this is really a good time to think about repositioning a brand before you make a commitment to how you're going to spend your money in growing the brand. Whether or not it changes anything doesn't matter, because if in repositioning you think that you're still on the right track, then you have validated that you're going to get the most return on investment in whatever investment you make in growing your business. If, on the other hand, you come up with some new gaps, I call them, the gap in the opportunity, the gap in the market opportunity, then great, because then you're not going to waste money by putting things to initiatives that aren't going to bring you the highest, you know, reinvestment. So, you know, basically, this is planning season anyway. So starting September 1st, the whole world goes into rebudgeting for next year, planning for next year, what are our goals for next year. And of course, we all know that what our goals set last year at the same time we were doing this, and the goals that we set for 2020 did not quite turn out. That business plan that we took to the bank is not the business plan that we probably 90% of us executed on, right? And some of us were surprised and benefited from opportunities that came, and some of us were really challenged. And so now here we are again. It's September 1st. September 1st is planning quarter, the last quarter of the year. So as I start, you know, shifting into planning mode with my whole life and with the people that I work with, I started thinking about Sharon and everything that Sharon's trying to do and everything that's working, and the community, the sphere of influence has grown so significantly over the last year. So what does that mean? And I started thinking, so I called her up. I said, hey, we need to spend some time like talking about, you know, if what got you to second base is where you really want to be, first of all. I mean, you know, are you loving this or what? And how do you get from second base to home plate, like going forward? Like what's happening before you make commitments to reinvest in all the digital marketing and all the community outreach that we need to do, because you have such a base of great followers. So how do we amplify the impact we can make on that and whatever? So she said yes, that she was willing to do that, which means to me, that's good. That's step number one, because she's not saying, forget it, I know everything, Elaine, I already got it all figured out. And I think there have been some times when you've done that for me in my life, and it's been very helpful, Sharon.
Well, and I think that's, you know, when we talk about power of association, here's one of my most sacred and most treasured associations, because when she's willing to give me her insights, and we put literally the mentor mentee hats on instead of the friend to friends hats. And the process that you went through, you know, while the concept of brand repositioning is a huge strategy when you look from the outside in as to where you want to go, the process is very tactical. So talk a little bit about the process you put me through, because that's what I really want people to get today.
Yes. Okay. So thank you. I appreciate that, because it is disciplined. So it is about being disciplined enough to get access to whatever information or thoughts or experiences that you've had that got you this far, and moving that forward. And it's kind of, it's based on a lot of different analogies, but one specific one that definitely resonates is, hold on, I have it right here, from Jim Collins's book, Good to Great. So a lot of you probably have studied Good to Great, and one of the concepts in there is about the hedgehog concept. And so the hedgehog concept is around three major pillars. So number one, like, what do you love doing? Like, what are you passionate about? You know, what really trips your trigger? Like, you get up in the morning and you can't wait to do that kind of work, and you love it, and you feel so good afterwards, and it just brings you joy. So what are the things related to work that you really love to do? The second pillar is, what are you really great at? Not what you would like to be great at, but what really are you great at, right? And that's the whole good to great.
That's a tough one.
Right. I know, because we, of course, know, at least you and I know, we can be great at everything, right? I mean, but, you know, the reality is we're good at a lot of stuff, right? And maybe great at a few things. So what is it that we're really good at? We're really, when we make an impact, it's big. It's a doozy. Like, we know that we do this well. Okay. The third pillar is the powerhouse, because the third pillar is the economic engine. So what are we passionate about? What are we great at? And what can we make money doing? So obviously, most of the people I'm talking to are in the business world, but also, you know, I was teaching at Grand Canyon University for a couple of years, and my students, I had about 150 students per semester, and these were probably juniors and seniors, and everybody was focused on, you know, what's the next chapter of their life. Well, I use the same model with them personally. Well, what are you passionate about? What can you be really great at? And what's going to feed your economic engine? So, so I had kids that wanted to start a coffee house, and I had kids that wanted to start their own businesses. And then I had people that wanted to go to big corporations. Well, great. The point is, the formula works individually as well as for a business. So the process, what the process is all about in an existing business. So obviously, when you're starting a business, your business plan is very much hinged around this hedgehog. So if you happen to be in a startup situation, think about your hedgehog, because off of the hedgehog is what we build our big, hairy, audacious goal, right? Our BHAG. So we say, okay, so here's our goal. And the goal better tie in with what we're passionate about, really great at, and can feed our economic engine. That's the whole point. So what the process is that really you discipline yourself to just think about all the things you're doing in your business, everything you're doing in your business. And you just say, okay, here are all my sources of revenue. And so you consider them. What are all the different sources of revenue in your business? And, you know, if you have access to it and you know which sources have the highest profit margins or are the biggest percentage of your revenue or whatever, you can add that intel into that analysis. So first you're looking at all the different kinds of businesses. What is the percentage of your revenue and what is the margin on that revenue? Because that may impact your decisions going forward. And the, okay, then the second thing so now you're thinking about all those parts, sorry. So now you have to rate them. So how passionate am I, Sharon Lecter, about doing podcasts? Yay, here we are. We're doing a podcast. Like, do I love it? Does it make me feel good? How passionate am I about public speaking and live speaking? You know, how passionate am I about putting programs together like Assets Are Sexy and how, you know, putting all that curriculum and the institutionalizing like things? How passionate am I about joint venturing and having strategic partnerships like with me and other people? So Sharon had to critically think about and come up with some kind of a scale where she could go through all the ways that she impacts people and sees where the connections are and then rate what she's passionate about doing. Are there things on the list with her business that she does because she has to do them? And maybe she's not so passionate about that. And who knows, you know? If so, we probably don't see it from her, I'll tell you that much, right? Because you're a pretty passionate woman. So then the second area is what? Am I great at it? So now you have to do the same discipline and think about all these ways, all these offerings that you have in your business. And this, so am I really good at that? So am I really good at that? So one of the things that I do a lot with the clients that I work with is really around effectively communicating as leaders. It's like effective communication strategies. And that could be in the areas of conflict management or negotiation or presenting your offerings, etc. So how we as leaders effectively communicate, how we run a meeting, all this stuff. And I get a lot of positive feedback about that and I love doing it. So in that area, of all the things that I'm doing, I could say, gee, I really do love doing that. And I feel really good about it. And it just gives me joy to help people be better communicators. And I'm getting feedback, I'm good at it. So both of the boxes might be filled, right? Well, for each of the things that you have in your business, then you go through and say, okay, am I really great at that? Like, am I the best? Yeah, whatever. Do I make the best spas or do I have access to selling the best spas available if I'm in the spa business or am I the best seller of spas or, you know, what is it that I'm really great at that I can own that space and feel really good about it? And then the third column, of course, is the economic engine. Now, the economic engine sometimes gets a little squirrely. So, for example, in your case, Sharon, I asked you to break it down into a couple different areas, as I recall. So one of the areas was, does this activity provide direct revenue to the company? And the other one was, does this activity feed the possibility of direct revenue to the company in a meaningful way? Like, you know, because we're all philanthropic and a lot of times we do a lot of different things and, you know, we give so much of ourselves and in our mind we're telling us, well, I'm getting more visibility and maybe someday it'll pay off. Maybe somebody will invite me to be a speaker in Sharon's case, you know, but meanwhile, she gives a lot. She's very philanthropic, right? So there are some philanthropic activities that might be higher on the return on investment scale from an economic engine standpoint versus an emotional or heartfelt standpoint, right? Or in addition to, probably, in that case, you know? So on the economic engine side, it's some analysis and some brutal reality sometimes, where you just have to kind of face the brutal reality. Okay, where is the revenue coming from? What percentage of it? What's the margins on that? How hard is it to get? What's the sales cycle to close something like that? So that then you can think now going forward. And trust me, if you rate in numbers these three areas, or if you break economics down into two or three, whatever. But if you rate what you're passionate about, what you're great at, and what your economic engine is, some things will rise to the top. And that's the first clue. That's you start, well, what are the top two or three things that potentially, if I invested in those right now, coming out of a crisis, would give me the most stability for the next chapter? They may not be the, you know, long-term, you know, five-year plan, but right now we're coming out of a crisis. So what's the next right step to get us through the next year and survive and thrive and grow our revenues? So is that along the lines of what you're
talking about? Yeah, when we went through that process, I think we came up with like 8 bullet points of things that kind of bubbled up to the top. And then as we continued talking, things got marked off. I think we ended up with like 3 or 4 things that were there as to what I really want to focus on. And the reason why I wanted to do this with you, Elaine, is that for everybody watching and listening, earlier this year, I'm the one, I teach you to own your own value, don't discount yourself. And so I had all my online programs, and we were in a process of doing a lot of Facebook ads to market and sell the Play Big movement course. Well, when the world shut down, I said, I don't think this is the right approach. People are going to be scared to death about the economy. Let's take my Money Mastery course. And instead of the $1,500 on my website or the $697 that we sometimes offer it in webinars, let's cut it way down to $79, right? Basically giving it away in a big way on Facebook, which we've been doing all year. And so in doing that, we've got a lot of new people with us, and we're hopefully giving them information that can help them get through this terrible time financially to find a better footing. But it's not at all the normal process of my business, but I decided to change that because of what was happening in the world. So the timing of getting together with Elaine now is all right. So now, okay, this has been working. We're starting to see it drop off a little bit. So it's time to re-engage. Well, who do I want to be? Do I want to be this person that is, do I want to get back into really helping people take their successful business exponentially increasing? Or do I want to work in more personal finance? So they're very completely different arenas. And so this process was very healthy for me to have that conversation to bounce it off of Elaine. So.
I'm glad that you brought up that last part about how, you know, we narrowed it down to this bullet list and then things got eliminated. And because that's a really important factor. So one of, you know, I started this advertising agency, digital company with my son, David. It's now his agency and he's the president and CEO. So one of the things David does in that area with our clients is he keeps a stop doing list related to their brand. So every time we go through this repositioning to figure out the good direction financially to make money for them, then, you know, he is looking for things to take off the list. Now, in your case, Sharon, we didn't necessarily like stop doing some of these things, but what we did was we realized what their job was. Their job was as a support and feeder and system for some of the other key areas. So the architecture changed, which changes how we're going to invest, right?
Absolutely. And it's also, you know, I teach the cash flow quadrant. You know, what I've started doing the last few years is one-on-one mentoring, which is my time face-to-face, which is, you know, not the way to build a big business when I want you to be one to many. So I'm stepping back onto the left side of the quadrant, but that's by choice because I love it so much. And so that's, you know, when you make that kind of choice and you say, okay, so how much of my time do I want to have really available for that? Because that has to take the highest priority because these clients are paying a lot of money. So they're number one priority. And so it is important to go through this process. You start really looking at your time commitment and how you're, where you're spending your time, and how are you able to put in the systems that help, can help create it, and things that we can do. You know, Angela was in this meeting with us. What, you know, what kind of things can we elevate her to start doing that maybe can start generating revenue that does not require my time? So it was a really healthy process.
Good, good. I'm glad. Yep, the best is yet to come from Sharon Lecter.
But Elaine, your message to everybody watching and listening, when it comes to when they say, you know, how do I reposition my brand? What are the three steps again? Let's go back over those.
Yep. What is it that you're passionate about? Number two, what are you great at? And number three, what's your economic engine?
And then you go through the process of rating each thing, because when you, that was the part that was painful for me. It's like, rate yourself on your number 10 means you're great at it. Number one means not so much. The economic engine, number 10 is it's really profitable, or number one, you probably shouldn't be doing it. So again, going through and rating and then looking at those rating scores as a combined unit is really, it's revealing. And it's a process that I think everybody should go through from a standpoint of when you're building a business, particularly when we've been through the kind of year we have this year. And even as you take your company forward, as it continues to grow and you have, you bring people in, it's important to do this process for you personally. So not just your company brand, but your personal brand. And Elaine, you're always talking about your personal brand. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of hinted earlier that, you know, it can be important personally. Now, personal branding, you know, is a little bit different. I mean, because it's a lot about, you know, moving from success to significance. Like, how do we want to be known? What are our core values, and what do we want people to feel when they engage with us as a person? Now, we may also be the CEO of our company. And so then what happens is when they engage with Elaine, they're also engaging with the business, right, in their mind. Like, they're building trust in the business if they have trust in Elaine. But a lot of times personal branding and what I just referenced happens a lot with what I call the onesie twosies, the celebrity brands, the consultants, everybody who's selling their own independent business function, like an insurance agent, life, everything, all that. That combines our personal brand. So the personal brand gets very specific. But the big thing on the personal brand is the way that you either pull somebody in to your brand positioning personally is not about announcing the first thing out of your mouth what you do or what your position is. So if I meet somebody someplace and they say, oh, hi, it's so nice to meet you, Elaine, you know, tell me about you or what do you do? If the first words out of my mouth are, well, I co-founded an advertising agency with my son, David, or I started a bank with my friends in Scottsdale, or anything like that, that is like so boring. And it's a turnoff too. Like, people are like, okay, and then ho-hum. Who cares? People don't care about that you're, you know, in the compliance division at Blue Cross Blue Shield, you know? But what they do care about is your why. They care about your passion. So if somebody says, hey, it's really nice to meet you, you know, what do you do? And I respond that, you know, I just have this personal philosophy of one big life, and I'd like to help everybody get positioned in the place of most potential.
Then and she does. That is her line. And you see over her shoulder her license tag, One Big Life, and she is the inspiration of that chapter in Thinking Grow Rich for Women. I got her permission to be able to use One Big Life as that chapter title. And she does. There's no doubt about it. You walk and talk and you help other people understand the importance of One Big Life.
Yeah.
And so, Elaine, you're going to hang out with me, and we're going to do another quick recording for the private Facebook group, the Play Big Movement. But for all of you watching and listening, Elaine Rawls is my closest friend, and I'm so proud of her. She continues to just everything she touches turns into magic, and I'm so delighted to have her in my world and in my life. And she is often with me at our business retreats. She comes to share her brilliance for our clients at the ranch. So keep out. Send us something. If you want to reach out to her, send us an email at info@SharonLechter.com. And I want you all to go out and have a glorious day. Thank you, Elaine. And hey, if you'll hang out with me for a moment. All of you, thank you so much for watching, listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And go out and have a fabulous day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lechter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lechter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.